don't even remember what I'm angry about now. There's been so much that's happened over the course of the last...
I'm not angry. It's hilarious to me.
3.5 hours. And I don't remember which part I'm angry about. Like, am I angry about the pass catches? Am I angry about Marty Morningweg? Am I angry about the fact that the defense let Jordan Howard gut them? Am I angry about... I don't remember what I'm angry about because it's been such a bizarre afternoon that ultimately leads the Ravens inexplicably losing at home.
I mean, I'd rather them had just lost in regulation.
So we didn't have to deal with any of that, right?
Why did I have to go through that?
We could have gotten to the rest of our day earlier if they had done that.
Seriously.
Ravens lose 27-24 in overtime to the Chicago Bears. This is the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by Par Excel. I'm Glenn. She's the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard, and we have so much to discuss after one of the more bizarre games in recent Ravens history, if not Ravens history overall. A game that looked like the game that was awful. It was an awful, unwatchable, terrible football game. Then suddenly a couple things happen, and at least the Bears are pulling away. So at least your Bears fans are like, hey, great day today, right? Then all of a sudden, for no reason at all, from the luckiest play in football history, the Ravens made it a game again briefly.
Yep.
And then Adrian Amos took an interception back for a touchdown, and it was Katie bar the doors. This is a complete disaster. Shut down Baltimore for the week. This is the biggest mess I've ever seen. And then more goofiness.
Yeah.
Leads to the Ravens somehow getting the game to overtime where Jordan Howard tried to give it to him. At the end of regulation, the Ravens couldn't take advantage of it. The Bears gave him the ball back, a great field position. The Ravens again couldn't take advantage of it. And ultimately, Jordan Howard slams the door shut on the most bizarre game I've seen in a while. Rita, there's so much here.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's so much to unpack about this game.
Yes.
It's almost insane, any of this. Like, this is insane. It's going to go down as a 27-24 game. It probably should have been about a 3-3 game. Somewhere in that neighborhood. There was about that level of quality football on display today in Baltimore.
Yeah.
This was not a good football game.
Not at all.
Somehow it ended up being entertaining. The biggest takeaway from me on the day is, I guess, the disaster that remains the Ravens' offense. I guess that's the biggest takeaway after all of this. The bizarre nature of the game, I guess, is the biggest takeaway from it. But secondary is the disaster that remains the Ravens' offense, which, again, you're going to see 24 points at the end of the day, and if you don't know any better, you think, well, hey, you scored some, but they didn't.
No, they did not.
They got two touchdowns from special teams.
Correct.
Again, one being bizarre. Bobby Rainey tackled by his own man. Everybody thought he was down, so he just got up and took it for a touchdown. Good for him.
Yeah.
Right application.
Heads up. Good heads-up play.
Everything was correct about that. The rule was correct. The play, everything they got correct on that. Smart of the officials to not blow him dead. You can always go back on replay and look and decide that you were wrong. On replay, you could see.
I agree.
Even if you think that Bellamy touched the dude, it had nothing to do with the tackle itself.
It did.
He didn't go down because that guy touched him. He went down because he was tackled by his own man. There was no world in which it should have been overturned. It wasn't, so it's a touchdown. Great. So they get that. They get the Campanero return for a score at the end of the game as well. That accounted for 15 points. 15 points on those two returns. So otherwise, the Ravens produced 9 points.
Yeah,
today.
That's it.
Nine.
That's it.
That's what their offense produced today. And they deserve to produce about 9 points today. They didn't do anything. And this is where we get to, and I'm sure it's already coming in, and I'll start checking the comments here in a second, because I was seeing it during the course of the day. This is where we get to the world where there's a certain group of people that think it's all Joe Flacco's fault. That if the offense doesn't have a great day, that's on Joe Flacco. He's supposed to, because he makes a lot of money, he's supposed to miraculously make the Ravens offense work.
Yeah.
They played, on top of not already having many playmakers, they played without Jeremy Maclin today.
Yep.
Rashad Perriman got hurt, although it's hard to knock that because Rashad Perriman stinks anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what Rashad Perriman would have done to help the football team. He conspired to lead to the first interception of the day because he decided he didn't want to catch a ball that hit him right in the hands.
Yes.
He decided, I hear footsteps. It ultimately ended up being what got him hurt.
Yes.
Was that play, but he had the ball on his hands, decided he didn't want to catch it, and so it ended up going as the first interception.
That was Flacco's fault, too.
Oh, how was that Flacco's fault?
That's sarcasm. But
I know. That's why I was trying to get you to continue the bit.
You know, I mean,
tell me how that was Flacco. Because I kept seeing about how it was all on Joe Flacco today.
Well, yeah. I mean, I listen, I understand the frustration with Flacco. I am no longer trying to find ways to help this young man out. He makes, again, and I hate to say it like this, but he does make a lot of money. So, you know, you can't defend somebody all the time that makes the money that he makes and makes the mistakes that he makes. That being said, I'm kind of tired of people not knowing football outside of the basics. I understand that we are led to believe that the quarterback is the engine of every NFL team.
Right.
That's partly true, but a lot of it has to do with what happens up front. I don't know if you guys know this. The offensive line isn't good. And once again, a guy that started last week's game was yet again inactive due to injury. So, here we go, another week.
Right,
another lineup.
Right, Jermaine Illuminor starts
at
right guard this week.
Correct. Now, you know,
they seem to run the ball fairly well.
They did run the ball fairly well, but their pass protection was an issue today. I mean, it was an issue. You saw Flacco getting out of the pocket lots of times, trying to create some plays. What I'm saying is, and there was the one play, there's the one sack where two Bears just kind of literally blew past the A gap, just and it was literally after the ball was snapped. I mean, literally the ball was snapped, boom, they were back there. It was very inconsistent by the offensive line play, and also you need receivers to do their job.
Well,
how many big drops did we see
between the drops and then just the number of times you see these sacks and
yes.
You say, honest to God, it's the best play that Joe Flacco can make because you look downfield. And there's no one with even a lick of separation.
Yes.
So Joe Flacco has two options. He can do what he ultimately did at the end of the game, and he can say, damn it, we have to score points. I'm going to have to throw this ball in there. And by the way, on the second interception, egregious on Chris Moore, the ball literally ricochets off his chest.
Yes.
Flacco has to, not only does he have to throw it because they have to go get points, he can't just keep saying, well, I'll live to fight another day because you're going to run out of days when you're down by, you know, whatever you're down
Correct.
By at the end of the game. You can't just keep saying, well, I guess I'll just have to take another sack here or I guess I have to throw this one away. You have to try to make a play. So he throws the ball. It hits off Chris Moore's chest. He throws the ball with a lot of heat behind it because he has to.
So I was going to say
there's no separation.
That's the next complaint, is that he put too much heat on
the
ball.
He has to.
Well, people are going to find ways to complain because, again, people believe that the quarterback is the end-all, be-all for how NFL teams are ran. If you can't really believe that if you see quarterbacks from other teams struggling and see how that goes. So I get it. I get that Flacco is not playing up to his contract's expectations. I'm completely fine.
I don't even know what that means, though.
Yes.
Like, I really, I've heard this for so many times. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Quarterbacks all get the same amount of money.
Correct.
This is the way it works. They get a lot.
That is the market. Quarterbacks are paid highly, whether you like it or not. That is. So if you want to complain about it, I'm not even going to argue with you if you want to complain about it. I'm not. However, you have to watch football a little bit more fundamentally and understand that there were times that wide receivers were not getting
the story
open.
Of the day. The story of the day offensively, two interceptions that both were inexcusable drops.
Correct.
On the part. Not even like the Breshad Perriman could he have caught the ball from a few weeks ago when Flacco should have thrown the ball. But this was two excellent throws, both hitting receivers, one in the hands, the other on the chest, and ricocheting for interceptions. Those are the two biggest plays. Add in Max Williams catching the ball, getting the first down, and then fumbling it. And then the fourth being, before the half, Michael Campanaro having a first down on his hands wide open in the middle of the field.
First down and more.
And
yep.
just dropping it.
Yep.
Even adding Bobby, you know, Bobby Rainey near the end of the game.
Yep.
On the check down, just tripping over his own feet. Ben Watson in the end zone, tripping over his own feet when Joe Flacco had extended a play and had an opportunity to maybe find Watson in the end zone. You want to bitch about Joe? These are the dumb things that people are going to do today. They're going to bitch about Joe Flacco and the throw beyond the line of scrimmage. You understand that if he hadn't thrown that ball, the exact same result would have played out? There is no harm whatsoever. I get it. You can't throw the ball beyond the line of scrimmage. Joe's trying to figure out exactly where he is.
Right.
His entire body has to be on the
right.
line of scrimmage. So why wouldn't he take a chance and say, well, maybe there's still enough of my foot that's
that
at the
I
line
can
of
make
scrimmage
this play and it counts.
Right,
yes.
Maybe again, if he doesn't do that, he's not getting to the end zone there. It's going to be a field goal either way, so why not try it? There's no harm at all in Joe Flacco doing
that. They still got points.
And when you complain about these checkdowns, and I'm getting that today, people that are complaining, well, you can't throw the ball 3 yards. Where is he supposed to throw it on these third down plays?
Well, here's the thing. I understand that we're not able to see the all 22 in every down, so I get that maybe you guys aren't really seeing the full story, but when they did replay these downs, when they replay these downs, are you guys not seeing what I saw, which is these guys was covered down the field? I mean, when did they show you plays that someone was wide open? Very rarely, if at all today.
Right.
So what y'all have to understand is that he's probably not doing that because somebody ain't open. I don't know how else to spell that out to you. Do I write it in cursive? Do I, like, sing it? They weren't open.
Correct.
I mean, what do you want me to do?
They're not good to begin with.
Y'all, let's look at this today. Look at what we had today. Mike Wallace was your number one. Fine. Chris Moore ended up being your number two. Michael Campanaro ended up being your number three. And then Ben Watson.
These aren't just guys that shouldn't
end.
Be starting, by the way. These are guys that shouldn't be in the NFL.
Correct. Chris Matthews was maybe a slot. I don't even. Chris Matthews just kind of came in when he came in. So you had to work with Mike Wallace, Chris Moore, who had been inactive.
And by the way, Mike Wallace should be in the NFL. I'm talking about the other guy. Mike Wallace is
guys.
An NFL caliber.
But Mike
receiver.
Wallace is not a number one to most
right.
teams at this
Correct.
Point.
Correct.
Let's be clear on that.
Well, multiple teams have made that decision for him.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, so now you got a guy that was inactive, that has been inactive in Chris Moore. You have a guy in Michael Campanaro who really hasn't done anything other than some gadget plays here and there. Chris Matthews, who was also inactive. I don't know what y'all – they can't get open because they're not that good.
They don't have NFL caliber skills.
There it is.
They don't have them.
There it is.
It's the end of – this is what you got. And yet, Joe Flacco still managed to find them and put the ball in their hands and try to do something
yep.
with it, and yet they weren't able to do anything with it.
Yes.
This is the story of what you got. I don't know. And it doesn't defend Marty Morningweg to me because I'll still say the same things that I've said about Marty Morningweg every time. Every week that they look inept – I'm totally fine with you firing Marty Morningweg. I just don't believe there's somebody else that can come in and do more with what they've got.
No.
The Ravens did this. They built this. And as I said at the beginning of the season, there was one way they could win this season. They had to have a dominant, game-changing defense. What they've got is a decent defense.
Decent.
They're okay.
They look like the way that they ended last year. I don't know if y'all figured this out yet, but without Brandon Williams, they're looking like how they played down the stretch, which I know people would like to believe they totally fell off down the stretch. They didn't totally fall
right.
off down the stretch. They just didn't play as well as they had the other three quarters of the season.
Right.
So really, this is a hangover of what we saw at the end of last season. And a lot of it has to do with the injuries that they have up front on the defensive line. Obviously, you had no Brandon Williams. You have no Brent Urban. You have no Carl Davis. So you have some guys that are young, inexperienced, trying to come in and make some plays. But this is what you're going to get.
Right.
This is what you're going to get.
Right.
And the Bears' offensive line, obviously, they're a heavy running offensive line because they run Jordan Howard a ton. This is what you're going to get as long as Brandon Williams is not in the game. It's hurting them. Justin Forsett tweeted today about Brandon Williams' impact his impact while he's not there. It's clear.
Yeah.
And it's really nothing that the Ravens can do about it, although that was supposed to be the plan the last two drafts when they did what they did and getting these defensive linemen. So far, it's just not working for them.
Let me go through some of these responses that we've gotten in. I know there have been a ton. I apologize. I get it. Everybody's fired up. Why wouldn't you be? The Ravens just lost at home to Mitch Trubisky and the Bears.
Sorry, not funny, but.
This is our boy. This is Kenzel. This is the problem that I have. He says Flacco is no longer good. I don't. Maybe you're right. What are you judging that?
I'm not debating that, but I'm not using today for that debate.
Right. I don't know where that's coming
okay,
from.
Okay, KZ, and I mean, cool. I'm fine that you came to that conclusion, but did you use today's game film to come with that conclusion? Because I saw a whole lot of other people that it were in part of the ineptness
right,
of the offense.
Far more significant
yes.
part of the ineptness of the offense. And again, I keep coming back to, great, you figured that out. Now he's going to be the quarterback for the next 2 years.
Unfortunately.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
How are you going to fix that? And if the Ravens think that's the problem, right? And maybe the Ravens do. There have been reasons for me to think that the Ravens believe the problem is, or that certain people within the Ravens think the problem is Joe Flacco. And not necessarily his skill set, but more that they don't like some of the things that get leaked out, right? They don't like the fact that he doesn't spend more time around the facility, right? They don't like things like that. That's all well and good. He's still the quarterback.
You
have
you paid
to go
him.
Win with him.
Yeah, you paid
and
him.
And if your answer this year was, well, we're going to just do nothing on offense. Like, I don't know how you look at Joe Flacco when he shows up to the building. How, after your offseason, do you even look Joe Flacco in the eyes and say, well, yeah, but we got you Danny Woodhead.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, and Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, we went out and picked somebody up off the scrap heap for you.
Yep.
Sure, we loaded up the other side of the ball, but we got a guy off the scrap heap. We drafted one offensive lineman in the draft, right? We went out and got one guy that was on this side of the ball during the draft. We did something for you, right? Like, come on, man.
And I'm fine with the criticism of Joe. Like, if that's what you choose to do, that's what you choose to do.
If you want me to sit here and say that Joe Flacco is like an MVP this year, I'm not.
But I need you to have some perspective, and I need you to start seeing that there's other issues here.
Did you watch the game today?
Apparently not. If that's what you're saying, my thing is that I don't know who you put behind center that can play at a high level against these guys.
This is a goofy thing. I do genuinely believe there are people that think that if, for whatever reason, insert name here was the court. By the way, Matt Ryan lost to the Dolphins today. Wanted everybody to know about that.
Y'all love talking about Matty Ice, but okay.
And unfortunately, it's not Aaron. God, that sucks too.
Yeah,
God, that sucks
so
much.
Yes, very much.
But insert quarterback's name here that genuinely believe. Well, if it was just this guy that was playing, then Chris Moore would catch that football because they genuinely believe that part of the problem is guys aren't inspired by Joe Flacco, and that's why they don't catch the football.
I'm inspired to get paid. I don't know about you, but I'm inspired to get paid.
Good football players regularly have caught the ball. When Anquan Boldin was in Baltimore, he had no problem catching the football, right?
Not one.
When Steve Smith was in Baltimore, even at the tail end of his career, did he have a problem catching the football? When good football players have been in Baltimore, for the most part, they've caught the ball when Joe Flacco's thrown it to him. You know why Rashad Perriman doesn't catch the football? Because he stinks!
Because he's not inspired to be paid.
He's terrible!
He's not inspired to be. I've never heard that a day in my life, Glenn, and that's the dumbest.
It's so
insane. Almost cursed.
Right? Yeah, right?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
All right, let me get to some more of these. Paul, will Bisciotti keep letting Harbaugh sacrifice offensive coordinators instead of solving the bigger problem of the head coach or player personnel choices?
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, obviously nothing's going to change in that department until the end of the year.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't that happen allegedly before where Bisciotti kind of stepped in and was like, you got to do something here? I could be wrong. I could be making this up, but
that,
I feel like that happened.
Right. The word was that people think Bisciotti was the one that really fired Cam Cameron during the Super Bowl year. But that's not, again, that doesn't address the head coach. What Paul's saying is we could keep doing this with coordinators. And by the way, this is what I keep saying. If they wanted to walk in today and fire Marty Morningweg, there's no one in the world that can defend, you know, why he should keep his job. There's nothing that you've seen from Marty Morningweg that suggests that he should be an offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens or, frankly, for any other NFL team at the moment. But the notion that that's going to solve something, that suddenly your team is going to be different just because somebody else is calling the plays, that to me doesn't solve Chris Moore, Rashad Perriman, Michael Campanaro being the guys that have to come up and make the plays.
I'd like to challenge people to give me a year in which you felt that the offense was doing their job, where you thought that the offense was effective. Can you name three seasons in which that you thought that the offense was a prolific offense, one that was working? I'd probably say 2006. I'd probably say 2012.
Well, for a stretch in 2012.
For a stretch
in
2012.
And 2014, obviously, with Gary
Kubiak. And 2014, right? I think my point is, though, is that I can't name consistent seasons in which I thought that the Ravens had a prolific offense. And I bring that point up to say is that
it's organizational.
It's an organizational issue. I've been saying this for years. Right. This is an organizational issue, and this is an issue on how the front office handles personnel. They do the same thing every year. They find some guys that get cut at the 23rd hour that they believe have value, and they think that that's enough.
Well, name the time they've ever gone out and signed a free agent offensive player in their prime.
That's my point. Even with Anquan Boldin,
he wasn't in his prime. Yeah.
But he was on the other side of his prime.
I disagree with that.
I think
he was very much in his prime, but it was a trade. It's a different thing. They didn't spend the money. So that's the one time, and it worked out. By the way, it was a home run.
And yes, it was a home run.
The one time they did it, it was a home run.
But me and you aren't even on the same page in terms of what we consider him. I'm saying he's on his prime, but he's on the prime to the end of his career.
Okay,
but
I think most guys, when they reach free agency, are 5 years into their career, so you can say, hey, they're 28 years old.
But do you
get
what I'm saying? He's past his second contract at this point. So my thing is that we can't even agree on that. So that tells you right there that.
Go get me more Anquan Boldin.
Correct.
Go get Anquan Boldin and
Derek
Mason.
And they haven't been able to do that.
Those are the two times they actually did something of that,
yes.
And it worked out famously
and
both times.
Steve Smith was very much
on the tail end of his career.
No, but
there's
yes,
no argument about
no
the Steve
argument.
Smith thing. He was absolutely at the tail end of his
career. I'm saying it worked.
It still somehow worked to some level,
yes,
right? Like, he missed a year, and that was
yes,
a bit of a mess for him. But to some level, it still worked when they went out and did that. I'm not inclined to go get more Steve Smiths.
But
I'm inclined to go get more Anquan Boldens, to go get more Derek Masons, guys that really worked out for a number of years.
You need to be more inclined to find some scouts that can help you actually get wide receivers in the draft.
Yeah.
Get some youth.
All right, we got to roll through some of these. Larry, Glenn, quick points. This ranting is pointless. Poor, poor tackling all game and all year. Incredibly bad clock management again.
Yes.
And let's not forget the most glaring thing all day, nine offensive points via three field goals all day. The touch on the tackling, this goes back to my statement about the defense. You built a team that had to be great defensively, had to be historically good because you knew what you had done on the offensive side of the ball.
Nothing.
There was no world in which you confuse yourself into thinking we can win with this offense this year. You knew that your way of winning was going to be because you put together a great, a dominant, a 2000 Ravens-esque defense, which I never believed in. It's why I didn't think the Ravens were very good, because I thought that was the only way they could be good, and I didn't believe they had done that. Well, we know. We got our answer 6 weeks in. They're nowhere near that. That's not the defense that they have.
Yep.
It's okay. And if they had done more on the offensive side of the ball, they might be in decent shape. They didn't do more on the offensive side of the ball. This is what they've got now to show for it. This defense is not that good.
No.
It's okay.
They're all right.
That's what they are. They're okay.
They're all right.
And tackling, yes, was poor today. No doubt about it. Obviously, nothing more glaring than on the 53-yard run from Jordan Howard at the end of the game. The clock management, yes, we go back to the play with 12 seconds left. One, the fact that you had wasted a timeout in order to get into that situation, the waste of timeout before the field goal is inexcusable. That can never happen. There is no argument, no debate. There is no world in which you can waste a timeout before that field goal. That was a disaster. And really, it only comes back to bite them in this weird situation with 12 seconds left, but they should have gotten the ball back once before that, right? That
right.
Campanero ended up running it back.
Yes.
And if they had gotten the ball back with no timeouts, needing to go 60 yards, given the way that we had seen this offense operate, I had zero faith they could have done
it. I would have been able to start the show much earlier, because they would not have scored those 8 points that they
Correct.
Needed.
No question. No question about it. Yes, the clock management, poor.
Yes.
I think some of that has to do with what it is that you're operating with, and the fact that you're trying to get guys that aren't NFL caliber receivers to know where they're supposed to be on the field. That is one of the problems that you deal with. From Mick. Mick says both interceptions on the receivers, it's garbage. Yeah, I mean, correct.
Well,
and Kyle follows up, receivers are bad. Simple. Yes, they have terrible receivers.
But yes, we're saying that, and
would have helped to have had Jeremy Maclin today, obviously.
Sure, and that's what I'm saying. You have the guys that you have, and you have to try to work with that, but people see the stat line and say, oh my God, this is trash. Fine. I'm fine with that. That's what you want to do.
Right.
But don't be lazy. Stop being lazy. This is the group of guys that they have. There are very few people that can go out there and make these guys look like rock stars. Aaron Rodgers being one of them. Aaron Rodgers ain't on your team.
Yeah, correct.
So now what?
Unfortunately for them, he's on nobody's team.
He's on nobody's team right now. But you don't have Aaron Rodgers. You don't
right.
have Tom Brady. You don't have those guys. Most obviously 30 other teams don't have those guys. So you have to do what you have to do. Most teams would not be able to do things with that wide receiver core that
Correct.
They have.
Correct.
So the fact that people want to continue to say, oh my God, you know, Flacco is this. And yes, we can criticize Flacco because he does deserve criticism. Yes. But those two interceptions, I need you to stop. I need you to stop being lazy. I need you to see that those guys are in position to make those plays.
If those two guys catch those two footballs, I don't know what today looks like. I don't know if we don't walk out of this saying Joe Flacco played really well today.
We don't.
By the way, if Mike Wallace...
We still
don't. I
don't
know if that's true. Mike Wallace caught two balls last week,
yeah.
And we walked out of last week saying Joe Flacco played really well. If those two balls get caught today, instead of going off the receiver's hands, I don't know what the day looks like. Those are two massive game-changing plays.
Well, we just don't have people complaining this week. I feel like it would just get delayed till next week.
Fair enough. Yeah, that might be true. Man Johnson, I don't like the owner. Flacco isn't playing up to his contract every year. Fans talk about the same problems with this team. It's gotten old. If the front office doesn't care, why should I?
Well,
I'm done with this garbage team and the front office.
Hey.
I mean, look, if they lose to Minnesota next week, there'll be plenty of seats available. I got a buddy who's flying in from Arizona, is going to be here the night of the Dolphins game. He's talking today about buying a ticket. I'm like, bro, you might want to
wait.
You might want to wait a little bit on
just
that.
Just wait. Because it'll be open.
The day of the game, if this goes the way now, we probably expect it to go in Minnesota. I mean, might be able to get in for less than that at that point. Think about it. It's a work night. There's probably plenty of people that were going to consider dumping their tickets to that game anyway
yep.
because they said, look, it's the Dolphins. It doesn't do a lot for me. It's a work night. If there's a game that I can dump my tickets for, it's probably going to be that one.
Yep.
could be very ugly that day.
Yep.
Bill, the defense spends way too much time on the field. Well, yeah, that's certainly part of the problem.
Yes.
I don't think we would dismiss that whatsoever,
they
spend too much time on the field. In fairness, and I would have to see what the numbers are. I'd have to pull it up.
I was going to say, but prior to us going into overtime, the time of possession was pretty even.
Right.
So
and that's the
today, so it, while it might appear that way today,
ultimately
at that
time of possession ends up being 36-31. I'd like to see what it is in overtime because presumably it skewed Bears in overtime because the Ravens only had the ball for three plays in overtime.
Prior to us going in overtime, I do recall when I was looking at stats, it was about 28-29. So today, I mean, the offense
they clearly tried to run the ball. That was the one thing they were trying to do, and that I think we go back to the question of that. A week ago, they found something throwing the ball downfield coming out of the gates.
Yes.
This week, they faced a Bears team that didn't have an interception coming into the game. And they said, nah, we're not going to bother trying to throw the ball downfield. We just think we can run the ball, do the things that we want to do, and win the football game that way. And I have a huge... So much of what I saw last week was generated based on moment one, you took a chance downfield and it worked. Now, not only did the Raiders have to think about that every time, and it changed the way they could defend the run because they knew that you were willing to do that type of thing. The only time we saw them try to open things up in the first half of today's game was on a third and long.
Yep, when they had to.
When they had to.
And didn't we talk about this last week? I feel like you and I had the same discussion last week after the Raiders game and that we were scared that the Ravens would say, oh, okay, that worked, and then turn around and go right back to what they've been doing.
Correct.
And that's exactly what they did
today. I wondered if
this
was nothing more than just looking at a matchup and saying, we'll try this week, but for the most part, that's not what we want to do.
And that's essentially what happened today.
From Mick, we have no run defense without Brandon Williams. I mean, it's certainly not the same. There's no debating that. Alex Thomas, I don't think it's about whether or not someone on staff can replace Marty and do better. He just needs to go because someone needs to take responsibility for this embarrassment. You can't fire the players or Harbaugh until next year. I'm going to say this for the umpteenth time. If Steve Bisciotti walked in today and fired Marty Morningweg, I will shed zero tears.
None of us will be upset.
I have no problem firing Marty Morningweg and saying this is the standard that we've held past guys to. If you produced an inept offense, you get fired. So just because you're John Harbaugh's buddy, we don't get to now say, well, you produced an inept offense, but you get to keep your job. I have no problem firing Marty Morningweg just for the sake of firing Marty Morningweg because I don't think you're losing anything.
No.
I just don't think you can expect it to be better with the next guy because he still has to deal with the same group of offensive personnel, which just simply isn't good.
How many coordinators would that be if they fired him during the season? Three coordinators that you fired mid-season and during the season?
It'd be the third time you've done it in the season.
Cam Cameron,
well,
Mark Trestman.
The third time under Harbaugh you did
that's
it
That's what
in
I
the
mean,
season.
Under Harbaugh. Right. We know Jim Tressel with Brian Billick. We get that. Sorry, wrong Jim. But I'm specifically talking under Harbaugh. That would be the third time
you've done it in season.
And nothing's changed.
And oddly, the other two both leaving for head coaching jobs.
That's
the goofy, right?
The times that they did do something decent, went elsewhere to upgrade.
Larry, coaching losing in trenches at home to a team that could only run it and you knew it and you still could not stop it is so frustrating. Ravens are not deep enough to withstand these kinds of injuries on both sides of the ball. Not many teams are. Given all this team still has to find a way to win these kinds of games at home, but clearly they are not good enough.
I mean, everything he said is on point.
From Paul, I'll say it again. Feel like the Ravens are playing with two strong safeties instead of a strong safety and a free safety. Need to move on from Weddle after this season and find a true center fielder with Jefferson as a true strong safety. Look, Tony Jefferson is not a pass defender downfield.
Right.
That's very clear. He's not a pass defender downfield. To me, as much as everybody said he was a good football player, that was very puzzling money to spend. It was puzzling to say we looked at our team and decided that finding another safety was what we needed to do with the money that we were going to spend. I said that when they made the decision. I said, this is just, it's weird. I get it. He's a decent football player, and I'm for signing good football players. But knowing where the holes were on your roster, if you were going to spend money, I thought this was a weird way to spend money. The results, again, I don't know that he's played poorly, but he hasn't done anything to justify him being the guy that you went out and spent money on this offseason.
I agree. The Ravens thought that they were a couple of defensive plays away from being AFC North champions. That was their thought process. So they felt like the offense, they needed minor tooling, but that the defense was why they weren't successful in going to the playoffs. A lot of us had begged to differ, but they chose to do what they did, and now this is what you have. You still looked the way that you do because one of your biggest stars, the one that you essentially needed to re-sign. Like, at this point, we see the value in Brandon Williams with his absence.
Yes.
That it's clear that they made the right decision in giving him the contract.
I don't think anybody had debated whether or not it was a good decision
to bring
back.
When it happened, you had people that were like, oh, let him go, blah, blah, blah. But that decision was the good one.
Although, keep in mind, at that time, you still had Tim Jernigan. Fine. You hadn't traded Tim. So I think a lot of people said, if you
ask me.
Tim Jernigan's looked pretty good in Philadelphia, by the way.
Yes, but he wasn't going to do that here.
I'm not.
I was fine with letting him go.
Again, I think the argument from people at the time was, if you don't want to spend money on Brandon Williams, it's fine. You come back with Tim Jernigan and Michael Pierce, and you feel pretty good about that combination. Obviously, a world in which you had no Brandon Williams, no Tim Jernigan, you don't like that world whatsoever.
Right.
That's not a good world for
right.
you to be living in. From Devin. Devin says, Flacco's not the greatest, but also does not have weapons, and defense did not play like we know they're capable of. I don't know that we know that they're capable of.
First of all, I don't know what the defense is capable of. I don't. We like
what
they look
like
on paper.
I guess if you
want to
say, for the first 2 weeks, they got five turnovers in both those games. So are they capable of being that?
They got a Bengals team that was still trying to, I don't know what they were trying to do.
Somebody would argue
one.
The Bears should probably be about the level of the Bengals or the Browns.
That's very true. But again, we thought that the Ravens were supposed to be the level of some really elite defense, and now we're seeing that they have issues when you have crucial guys that aren't in the game.
Yeah, no doubt. John says Matt Stafford is like the highest paid quarterback, and they got run out of the building today. Well, they actually didn't because they rallied.
They came back, sir.
But they still lost 52-38. His numbers will ultimately look very good today.
They were only down by seven.
Yeah, they got within a touchdown. They were down 45-10. They got back within a touchdown. Now, part of the reason they were down 45-10.
So Matthew Stafford is out there playing for.
By the way, I'll give Matt Stafford some level of defense as well. It's not like the Lions are surrounding him with oodles of talent either. They've got Marvin Jones. They've got,
Ebron,
Golden Tate. They've got Kenny Galladay. I'm not trying to defend. I think Matt Stafford's played well for the most part. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. But I think the part of the story is that they haven't done. I mean, they tried. Clearly, they didn't expect Calvin Johnson to retire a couple years ago.
Right, correct.
And that changed a lot of things. But at least they developed one. They had an early pick in order to be able to do it.
Yep.
Alex, he was responding to the fact that you said, hey, how many times have they really had a competent offense? Yes, he said the only times I can think of are 2012 postseason, 2014.
And then another tenure where Harbaugh wasn't even here. Because 2006 was a very good football team.
Right.
They were very well balanced.
I
wanted to put this past Harbaugh's era because I'm trying to bring up the point that this is not just a Harbaugh issue. The Ravens have had this issue outside of the first 2 years when they were very high prolific offenses but had really bad defenses.
Like once they decided to become a defensive
team. Once they decided to become a defensive team, they have struggled to have good offenses throughout their entire tenure. That's the point I'm trying to make.
No
this
question.
Is an organizational issue.
No question. Steve, the front office needs to see it's time to draft O-linemen and wide receivers and running backs. Well, look, I mean, they drafted Ronnie Stanley, and that appears
that has done
have been
that
the
has
one
done
thing that's
good
worked.
Work. Yes, that
but
has worked.
Unfortunately, the one time they drafted a wide receiver, it was a failure. I mean, an abysmal failure to this
the
point.
The one time?
Well, the one time they drafted one in the first round.
I mean, you're just going to act like Travis Taylor didn't exist?
I mean, the one time in the John Harbaugh era.
Oh, okay.
The one time in this era, right? In the John Harbaugh, in the 10 years that we're now looking at, in the John Harbaugh era, they've used one first round pick on a wide receiver, and it's been on a pass catcher in general, it's been a complete failure.
Yes, it has.
It's the only one time they've done it, right?
Yes.
Like, they've done it one time. Even in the first two rounds, they had one that was a hit in Torrey Smith. Max Williams has been a complete bust, has been an absolute failure of a second-round pick to this point. Now, could that change? I guess that could change, but this is just something. They don't spend early picks on playmakers. They don't do it in the John Harbaugh era. And I get it. Part of it is they have not had early picks in the first round, right? Like, they've very rarely.
Yeah, they're typically later. Drafting later
and
on
a lot
in
of times
the draft.
When you
so
have good playmakers,
those guys are gone.
Come off the
yes.
board before that point, right? That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
From Paul, the Ravens and Ozzie every year seem to find undrafted defensive linemen and linebackers like they're falling off of trees, such as Lionel Dalton, Bart Scott, Michael Pierce, etc. Don't understand why they keep spending high picks on players like Kafusi, Correa, Wormley, Jernigan instead of finding difference makers on offensive side of the ball like someone like Kareem Hunt. Look, I argued this when the C.J. Mosley pick. Like, you can tell me that C.J. Mosley's been a nice player, right? And he's been a decent player,
yes.
But in order to justify spending that pick on an inside linebacker, knowing what they've been able to do with inside linebackers during the course of their history, he needed to be Ray Lewis. I mean, he needed to be an absolute rock star, game changer, guy that could do it all, and he hasn't been that guy. He's been decent.
He's been decent.
That's what he's been. It didn't, to me, justify using a pick like that on a inside linebacker.
Well, I mean, I feel the same way about Marlon Humphrey, and I'm not. This is no disrespect to Marlon Humphrey, in terms of his play. I'm saying before the draft, You know, when they called his name on draft day, I was like, so you had, well, I'm not going to even go to the O.J. Howard thing because I did go through that. But right. even Jonathan Allen on the board, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I thought that this was the best player available type of team. And to me, you're telling me that Marlon Humphrey was better than these okay. other two guys.
Look, Marlon Humphrey has been.
And that's what I'm saying. Right. No, my disclaimer is no disrespect to right. Marlon Humphrey. I'm saying right. that there were other guys on the board that I felt were better players at that
I hear
position.
You. I hear you.
And so I think that sometimes the Ravens do get comfortable with the Alabama pipeline. In hence the CJ Mosley pick. Yeah.
John's funny. John's in Little Rock. He said those December tickets I want for the Indy game might be bargain basement prices at this point. Might very well
Too
be, John.
Bad teams.
I would not buy tickets anytime soon.
Nope.
Paul, before the draft, I was campaigning to Glenn for the Ravens to draft Juju Smith-Schuster, then the Steelers, who already have Antonio Brown,
yep.
as well as Martavis Bryant, Eli Rogers, etc., went ahead and took Ben another weapon in the second round. Ha ha. Now, look, Juju Smith-Schuster has looked pretty good. Now, that didn't prevent Ben Roethlisberger from throwing 5 interceptions last week. It didn't solve all of the Steelers' problems. They still have tons of issues on defensive side of the ball. So it wasn't like drafting one pass catcher changed everything
Correct.
For them.
But Juju, I mean, I believe they're saying that, I think we talked about this earlier, they were saying Martavis is kind of getting his touches taken away from Juju because Juju has played
He's
so
played
well.
Really well.
So you do have to wonder, hey, if he was right. on the Ravens, what would it look like? Because I wanted him as well. I wanted him too.
He was a guy that certainly I had. There was a bunch of guys that I wanted, but he was certainly
he was high on my list.
Group.
Yeah.
Eric, the line is decimated. The wide receivers don't catch the ball. It's really that simple.
You would think it's that simple, but people just don't watch football the same way you and I do.
They just want it to be Joe Flacco's fault.
Yes, everything
just
is the quarterback's fault.
I mean, this is, by the way, what I blame for this. God, I hate doing this. This is the Skip Bayless era.
Yes.
Is that it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong.
Yep.
As soon as you've decided something is the way it is, then you search for anything. I saw somebody who I could tell because he was interacting with me today that he's just a I don't like Flacco guy.
And that's fine.
Beating up Flacco for the overtime possession where they ran the ball twice.
Okay.
That's Joe Flacco's fault.
I mean, you know, because he calls the plays too. I'm sure they're saying that he could have changed out of the run play and did the pass
right.
with the wide receivers they have.
The point why I bring up Skip Bayless is that I don't know much about Skip Bayless because I don't watch the Skip Bayless show. I don't know when it's on. I've never watched the Skip Bayless show, but I know from Twitter that Skip Bayless's bit was that he was anti-LeBron. That was his
yes.
bit, right?
Yes.
And it didn't matter what LeBron did. It didn't matter that he won championships. It didn't matter that he was an MVP. His bit was he had to constantly find things that could somehow fortify something that was anti-LeBron because he had tied himself to that. He had tied himself to, I'm anti-LeBron. It doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
There's no statement to be made there. He just tied himself to being anti-LeBron. So now he had to find everything that he could find, grasped to whatever he could grasp to justify his anti-LeBron personality.
Yep.
I don't know anything about, again, I don't know any of his other takes because I just don't.
You don't
I
care
knew
enough,
that from
yeah.
Twitter because it was constantly being thrown at me on Twitter. That's what we now deal with, is it doesn't matter. Watching the game doesn't matter. Seeing what happens doesn't matter. Once you decide you're anti-Flacco, nothing matters now.
A lot of y'all watch football based on emotion and not based on logic. And look, I get it. I get when the game is on, your emotions are running really high, your adrenaline is running really high. But y'all not out here making sense now, because I'm always fussing with people on Twitter because y'all sound stupid. Okay, stop sounding so stupid. The quarterback needs help. I don't know what else you need to know other than the fact that his offensive line can't pass block. The wide receivers that he have aren't good enough. They can't get separation. There are things here that all play into what's going on with the offense. They are not good. We have come to that. We've all come to that conclusion because it's obvious.
Right, correct.
The problem is that we're putting certain levels of blame in the wrong places. Do I think that Joe Flacco is playing beyond his years? Probably. I mean, he's not playing at a high level
anymore.
I don't
think he's getting better.
He's not. Well, that's clear that he's not getting better. However, it is really okay to say, hey, y'all, he's not really playing that good, and say the guys that he's playing with aren't that
good
either.
I think that part
it's
of that,
okay.
Even if you don't have to say and, you can say it at least has something to do
yes.
with
yes.
with this.
Yes.
This has something to do with that.
Yes.
again, if Joe Flacco had the weapons of insert name here, I don't know what it would look like because he doesn't. It's possible that if Joe Flacco had better weapons, a better offensive line, he might still be struggling because maybe Joe Flacco really isn't that good anymore. Maybe there's truth to that. I don't have any clue because he doesn't have that. I have no way to judge what Joe Flacco would look like. Look, I don't think they have a ton of weapons in Kansas City, but Alex Smith looks great. Here's what I do know. Kareem Hunt is way better than anything the Ravens have.
Absolutely.
Tyreek Hill is way better than anything the Ravens
have. And
Travis Kelce is extremely better than anything the Ravens have. So, I'm saying I don't think they have a ton, but they've got three.
They got three.
That
and that's all they need.
Massively better
that's
than
all
what
they
the
need.
Ravens are
Absolutely.
Dealing with.
I completely agree.
So how do I judge Joe Flacco? I don't even know how we begin to judge Joe Flacco when I came into the season saying, I don't think they can be any good on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think there's any way that they can be good. So they've lived up to my expectations.
You have said that from day one, and from week one, they have showed you that because they haven't played consistently well all season. They had one good game in Oakland, because honestly, the Oakland game is probably the more complete game offensively they had.
That's the best offensive
That's
performance.
That's the best offensive
yes,
performance,
the Oakland game.
Performance that they've had thus far. The only way you can judge Joe Flacco, unfortunately, guys, is to judge the guys that are around him. That's the only way you can do it fairly. That is. And unfortunately, when you come to that, when you start looking at the other guys, you have the dropsies problems. You have the ones where they're hitting them on the chest
right.
and they're not catching those balls. So there's a collective group of disarray going on with this team.
All leads into it.
And
you
can't ignore it. Don't ignore it. I'm fine with you saying whatever you want about Joe Flacco. I get it. I get that as fans, we tend to do that and just say, hey, it's this guy's fault. But there are so many other intangibles to what's going on with the Ravens on both sides of the ball.
I hear you. All right, let me get through a few more of these, as I know we actually have gone well overtime today.
Oh, okay.
But, no, the game went overtime, so why wouldn't we go overtime?
Just OT.
Larry, guys, when you look at the definition of insanity, the Ravens front offense is the picture you see, as they keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Fact.
That's
probably the best comment.
I've never understood the strategy. I've never understood, and this goes back to 2012. You watched what you can do with Joe Flacco when you surround him with competency. When you surround him and say, let's let Joe Flacco win games for us, you saw what happened. Because we all know, every one of us that watch, despite the fact that people that don't like Joe Flacco and the rest of the country try to pretend like what happened in 2012 was about the defense, we all know better. That defense stunk. They
try to tell people all the time. They were 17th overall.
It wasn't good.
No.
They won a Super Bowl because of one reason.
Yep, 11-0.
Because of the guy playing quarterback.
11-0.
That's the only reason they won a Super Bowl that year. There wasn't even a second. Ray Rice, if we remember, wasn't even good in the postseason that year. He fumbled the ball in the postseason that year.
You know,
the beginning of the
Jacoby,
end.
Jacoby is the reason why
because
the Ravens
Raheem Moore fell down.
Got to the Super Bowl. And then he was supposed to be the MVP, too, remember?
Right, that's right. It should have been Jacoby Jones. By the way, all respect, Jacoby Jones
we
had a fine
Jacoby.
Postseason.
We
had
love
a fine
Jacoby.
Postseason. Nobody's taking that away from him. But that was what we knew. We knew then there was one reason, only one, that the Baltimore Ravens have a second Lombardi trophy. There's one guy, and it's number 5. So they decided we're going to give him a boatload of money. And then for whatever reason, the moment they decided to give him a boatload of money, they suddenly said, but we're not really all in on Joe Flacco. And we're going to get rid of Anquan Boldin and go get Elvis Dumervil. Because we don't really believe in the guy that we just gave a boatload of money to.
Let's get rid of his favorite player.
And saw him win us a Super Bowl.
Let's get rid of his favorite player.
We know what he's capable of.
Yep.
We know what he can do. But instead of trying to have that be the way that we win in the future, we're going to try to keep doing it our archaic way that isn't working. And we're going to keep loading up on that side of the ball. And every time we go get a guy, it's going to be on that side. We're going to continuously build up that side of the ball. And the results are poo.
People don't – you know what I've learned is that people really don't like being critical of Ozzie Newsome because they have two Super Bowls. And look
– I get it, right? God bless.
We love Ozzie Newsome. However, it is okay to be critical of people that you like.
Explain someone's decision-making that watched one man lead them to a Super Bowl, paid them an exorbitant amount of money, and then said from there, but every decision we're going to make afterwards is going to benefit the other side of the ball.
Exactly.
We're going all in on this guy, and then we're not going to go in on him anymore at all.
And
we're not going to do anything to
Let's
try
not
to
ignore
help.
The fact this is obviously a heavy offensive-driven league.
Right.
Where
Correct.
You really would like to have more offensive weapons than you would defensive weapons.
No
but
doubt.
Hey,
no
who's,
doubt.
Who's keeping track?
All right. I've got to roll through these. We've gotten so many comments. Appreciate them all. Let me try to roll through them. Paul, my question is, in the offseason, do you think the Ravens stay status quo with the offensive line, expecting Yanda, Lewis, and backups like Siragusa will be at 100% to solve things? I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
Alex Lewis was what, a second year player.
I mean, look, they're clearly
going to
assume
you're gonna if he's healthy, he's gonna come back. He's gonna be in his third year next year.
Yeah, you're right. They
Fine.
Are. Yes,
Yanda,
the answer's yes.
Yeah, the answer's yes.
The answer's
Let's
yes.
look. Yeah.
From Man Johnson, Glenn. By the way, man, is that your real name? Because I love it. Glenn, if the front office fires Marty, I think the other coaches will get their act together. Plus, when a guy doesn't do his job, he deserves to get fired. Look, I have no problem. This is if you're trying to get me to argue for keeping Marty Morningweg, you will not. I will not do that. You want to fire Marty Morningweg, fire Marty Morningweg. Let Greg Roman have a shot for the rest of the season to call the plays. My expectation is nothing gets better. But, again, if you want to do it because this just doesn't work, I have no argument against that. There's no world where I'm going to tell you that Marty Morningweg should keep his job for any reason. There's no reason why he should keep his job. My only point is I don't think it's going to get better. But in fairness, and I'll be fair about this, in 2012 when they fired Cam Cameron, I walked into a microphone the next day and said, I don't think it's going to get any better. I just don't expect that suddenly Jim Caldwell, who's never caught a play before in the NFL in his life, can get something out of this offense that Cam Cameron didn't. And I was wildly wrong.
He was wrong, and they had much better players on offense back then.
They certainly did have
this
that.
This team does not.
They certainly had that.
Let's not ignore
Look,
that one.
Again, you want to fire Marty Morningweg? By all means, fire Marty Morningweg. I have zero defense of Marty Morningweg. None. Zero. I don't know what world. I didn't think he should have kept his job at the end of last year. So I'm sure as hell not defending him now.
Now, exactly.
For God's sakes. Eric, the Ravens have never had a prolific offense in this era, but Flacco has looked better when you have a better line and wide receivers that can just catch. Yes, correct. When he had wide receivers that could catch and he wasn't horizontal, the Ravens were in AFC championships. I'm not saying Flacco is nasty, but he's capable.
Yes, I think that's what Glenn is saying.
I think we're all in agreement with you, Eric. Jamil, a lot of teams think their quarterbacks don't need help after they give them lots of money. Who thinks that?
I don't know.
Name the Tom Brady just put together the greatest offensive year in the history of ever.
And then they went and got Brandon Cooks.
Name the team that's operated that way.
I have.
Maybe he was being sarcastic. Maybe I just couldn't read that on Facebook. Maybe that was sarcasm.
Sometimes you never know.
Name the team that said, we're going to invest in our quarterback and then do nothing after that.
I don't know. I don't know that team, honestly. I mean, give us some names. I'd love to know.
I know. Right. Man, by the way, says it's actually his nickname. All right.
Okay.
It's a good one, by the way. Let's be honest. Even when Flacco has time, he hasn't delivered most of the time. He gets paid big money, so we should turn his hand up. How long is Flacco going to live off his 2012 postseason?
Look, okay.
I mean, again, this world in which he's just supposed to be better because he gets paid.
He's just supposed to do everything by himself.
Is that how it works?
Hey, Flacco doesn't catch the ball and he doesn't block either. I don't know if you knew that.
This is the world in which it's Joe Flacco's fault that Bobby Rainey tripped over his own feet. That's the world.
Although he would have gotten that first down.
1,000% would have gotten the first down there.
But he
tripped over his own feet.
Not here nor there.
Paul, if it wasn't for wide receiver play, tight end position would be a dumpster fire for the Ravens. God bless Ben Watson, but he's 37 years old. Yes, he's done nothing. although, again, I don't know if it's the play calling. You know what I mean? There have been moments where you've looked at him and said, maybe he's got something to offer. Boyle is slow. Williams is a bust and always hurt. Gilmore always hurt. And Maley, I didn't know why he's taking up a roster spot.
Well, because they need tight ends.
That's
I think that's, you know, Max Williams was inactive a couple weeks, so they needed males. I mean, you know.
By the way, I didn't know. It's Maley.
Oh, it's Maley.
I found that out.
I thought it was male.
I thought it was male, too. It's Maley.
Maley.
I had no idea.
Excuse me.
I was with you. I probably said the same thing when he caught a touchdown. Or he ran for a touchdown last week.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Well, first of all, we didn't know who he was until
Correct.
He did
we're
it.
Like, who the hell is that? All right, I need to tell you about Parxel for 30 seconds, and then we're going to come back in here, and we're going to wrap things up, and I guess look ahead to next week, because we have to.
Okay.
I don't want to. It's the Project Game Day postgame show. It's brought to you by Parxel. Let me tell you about them literally for 30 seconds.
Parxel early phase unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, let's wind things down for the post-game show. Next week, the Vikings. Took out the Packers Day, obviously. That is a very small part of the story. Is the big part of the story was the Packers lost Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Had somebody tell me today, hey, the good news is that the Ravens won't have to face Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You think they're going in there and beating Brett Hundley the way that they played today?
Yeah.
You think that's good news? Mm. Also, it's just so Aaron Rodgers is the guy that makes football more fun.
Yes, and I'm going to miss him
greatly. It's going to suck.
I'm going to miss Aaron Rodgers greatly.
And they tend to get the 4 o'clock games, right? So after the Ravens are over, you can sit back and watch Aaron Rodgers, and that's a lot of fun. This sucks. This is one of the worst things. Like, the Ravens losing sucks. I'm almost more despondent about Aaron Rodgers going down because I know the Ravens aren't very good.
Nope.
At least I was going to be able to watch Aaron Rodgers.
You have zero expectations with the Ravens at this point. With Aaron Rodgers, you know you were going to get exceptional quarterback play.
Fun football.
Right? We don't have that now. Well, we got the Chiefs left to
plus,
to be.
Everybody owns at least one Packer. If you didn't have Aaron Rodgers, you at least have Devontae Adams or Jordy Nelson or somebody who is impacted in some way by the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to be out. This sucks. It's terrible.
It does. And look, I like Hundley. I believe out of UCLA. I mean,
might be a player, right? Might be.
He was supposed to be rated really high before he did go out into the draft the year that he went out, but he's definitely no Aaron Rodgers. It's just a different feel. It's not as fun anymore. If you are going to the game, if you're a Ravens fan and you're going to the game in Green Bay, I know you feel cheated.
Oh,
right
no
now.
Doubt, man. Because
you want to see Aaron Rodgers.
No question. He is the Beatles of the NFL currently.
Yes.
He's the guy that you pay to see. My buddy Kevin Van Valkenburg from ESPN sort of compared it to Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, right? Like Tom Brady is Arnold Palmer. He'll have the most, right?
Yeah.
He's Jack Nicklaus. He'll have the most. But Arnold, I screwed this all up. Let me go back.
Start over.
Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. That he said Brady is Jack Nicklaus. He'll have the most, right? He'll be the greatest because of that. But Tiger Woods was the guy that you paid to watch.
That's true.
Tiger Woods was the guy that could do the sublime.
Yep.
Could do the, oh my God, I can't believe I just got to witness that. That's Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
He's the sublime. Tom Brady's always been effective. Aaron Rodgers has been just divine to watch play the game of
football.
He's
my favorite player to watch,
no
easily.
Doubt. Sucks. All right. I think we're good.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you didn't expect much anyway going into next week.
But remember last week when everybody was starting to make them 7-2?
Yeah,
And all of a sudden people were like, oh, they're just going to be 7-2. I'm like, what team are you watching?
I never thought that one bit.
They're just going to be 7-2.
Never thought. And look, and it's funny because on the Fantasy and Reality Show, we looked at the next 4 weeks, which obviously, well, starting with today. It was supposed to start with today. Next week they play the Vikings. The week after that we get Miami, and then the Titans. And so I think realistically we were saying 2-2. That was realistic for that to have a shoot. At this point, I don't know if they're going to even go 1-3.
God, that's so sad.
It is. Because look, Jay Cutler literally I watched the Falcons lose. Jay Cutler did not play well today, they still found a way to beat a good football team, guys.
God, it's
so
bad.
Yeah, this is potentially bad.
At the NFL Chick on Twitter is how you follow her.
Yes.
Sunday mornings, the Fantasy and Reality Football Show. It's her, KZ, and Kyle Ottenheimer from 10 to noon, pressboxonline.com/radio. I'm back with you tomorrow morning for Glenn Clark Radio, 10 to noon at the same spot with Kyle, and I'm at Glenn Clark Radio on Twitter. Thanks to PyroXL for making it happen. Wish that we would have had more fun, but enjoyed the therapy. We will talk to you next week. Another 1 o'clock game, so another normal game. Looking forward to that next week as the Ravens take on the Vikings. We'll see you then. It's been PressBox's Project Game Day postgame show.